Thank you for coming in this evening, and we want to, by the end of this study, I hope we come to a clear understanding about the Bible's teaching about water baptism today. We finished up the last lesson a few days ago with, well, just a brief review. Paul was sent, and Christ's sending of Paul was ascending not to baptize. At that particular time when he's talking about it there in fact, let me just pull up the verse. It's 1 Corinthians 1:17, and it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." The cross of Christ is what has an effect. But it's plain from that verse, it's the plain, clear meaning of the whole context that Paul had water baptized a few people before it was revealed to him that Christ's commissioning of Paul was different and not the same as Christ's commissioning of Israel's 12 apostles. Those 12 apostles were commissioned to water baptize believers in their gospel. You can find that in Matthew 28:19, in Mark at the end of the, 16, verses 15 to 16. In Matthew, it says, Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." This is Jesus talking to Israel's 12 apostles. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So that's why Paul says that he never baptized in his own name. His was a different commission with a different a spirit baptism. Paul's commission was to preach a different gospel. And we can show that from Scripture. We can see it. We just read it in Galatians 2, verse 7. The previous lesson read it. But Paul's commission to preach a different gospel, it was a gospel that could save unforgivable sinners. Unforgivable, like Saul of Tarsus. And there's got to be something about that new salvation that by which Christ saved Paul that's unique. I mean, if it saves unforgivable people, something about that salvation goes beyond forgiveness. Paul had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. You can read that in Acts 7, verses 51 to 59. Paul's gospel of Christ, by which he was saved, was God's power to save sinners who were formerly unsavable in Israel's doctrine, unforgivable in Israel's doctrine. And that removes all precedent for continuing to water baptize based on previous practice for cleansing. It was, if you were here and heard, but if you weren't, Exodus 29, verses 1 through 4, it was a cleansing of a kingdom of priests. Exodus 19, 5 and 6 tells us Israel was promised to be a kingdom of priests. And the cleansing that was needed, the purification as it's called in John 3, that was for the kingdom of priests that was promised to be brought in. And when John the Baptist came and Jesus came, they came preaching that it's at hand. This promised kingdom is at hand. Just believe that Jesus is the Messiah. So they will be, and you can read this in what is it, Zechariah 8:23, that Israel will in the future priest the rest of the world. They will be a priest to the rest of the world. Priests, I should say. A kingdom of priests during Israel's kingdom. Paul was not commissioned under the same commission as the 12, Israel's 12 apostles. Paul was not commissioned to baptize, but to preach the gospel by which he had been saved. A different gospel than Israel's 12 had to preach. It was the power of God to save sinners like Paul. That's what that gospel was, by which he was saved. It was the power of God to save sinners, not law keepers, which is all that the law even hinted at justifying, the law keepers. But we read Paul in his sermon in Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," and he had just described this man as being in verses 28 through here, 37, as being the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead, buried, crucified, dead and buried, and risen from the dead. So he says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe, there's a colon there after sins, forgiveness of sins, colon, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So this is a later and more effective salvation that Paul was given to preach. Christ gave Paul to preach. Let's face it, the law never saved anyone. It was not even given to save anyone. It was given to expose our condemnation. The law worketh wrath. Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. The law was added. Let's look at Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Israel's 12 apostles' commission. And we'll see there that they were commissioned to baptize. He said unto them, Jesus said unto Israel's 12 apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Don't worry, that's not our gospel. That's not to us, it's not about us. It's for Israel before Israel fell. As we said in Acts 7, they fell. Israel's 12 apostles had been commissioned to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to water baptize their believers to be a kingdom, a whole kingdom of priests in their future salvation when Christ returns to earth. That's when they're promised to be saved. Acts 3:19-21 tells us that plainly, that their sins don't get blotted out now like ours. Ours are blotted out. Ours are we're saved from the moment we believe because of what Christ has done on the cross. Israel don't get their sins blotted out till Christ returns. Let's read the verses. Acts 3:19-21. "Repent ye therefore and be converted," that your— this is Peter, day of Pentecost, preaching to Israel, the Israelites that had all gathered from all over the world, the known world, that could make it. This is one of the feasts that they had to attend, had to come back to Jerusalem for. Peter says to Israel, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." So when Christ comes back is when they get their sins blotted out. Going on to verse 21, "whom Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Well, on the other hand, Paul received a sending rather than a not sending. It's not that he wasn't sent to water baptize. Paul was not commissioned to water baptize, but rather to preach the gospel of Christ. Christ crucified for our sins. Romans 1:16. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4 gives that gospel. But in Romans 1:16 it says it's at that time confined, his sending, I should say, was confined to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Doesn't mean he couldn't preach to whoever he wanted to, but he was responsible to God to preach to the Jew first and to also to the Greek. Christ's commissioning of Paul was singular as his only apostle of the Gentiles. You can read that, and let's read that. The is a singular word. The apostle. Romans 11:13, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Christ's commissioning of Paul was later widened to all people, as reported in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, after Israel fell in Acts 7. That's verses 51 to 59. And when Israel fell, they fell in Acts 7, and they were diminishing after that. It's in Acts 11 that it tells of their diminishing. By the time of Acts 18:22, when Christ appeared to Paul in the temple. Let me just look at my notes here. That was when Christ appeared to Paul in the temple, was when he told Paul that he would widen his sending to all people. And you can read. Let me just go to those verses rather than just talk about them. It'll take just a minute longer here. We're going to Acts 22, verse 17, 18, 19, 21. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. So there, you can see there's a break there. He's starting something new. He had been telling about his Acts 9 conversion, Judaism, but he was saved, his Acts 9 salvation. And in verse 16 he ends that, and he says here in Acts 7, Acts 20, did I say Acts 16? Acts 22, 16 he ends that. Here in Acts 22:17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. So this isn't on the Damascus Road anymore. This is another trip to Jerusalem after his first one. When I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw, let me get the verse up there, and saw him saying unto me, make haste. So hurry up, watch out, and there's a urgency to this. He says, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Well, Paul argues with him a little bit in verses 19 and 20 and says that why would they, you know, you can read that part if you want, but the next part goes along with verse 18. He says, the Lord said to Paul, he says, and he said unto me, depart, for I will is future tense, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Not just the Jew first and also the Greek that he had been sent to earlier. You can read that sending in Acts 26, 17, 18. 16 and 17, yeah. So, not being commissioned to water baptize, it's pure speculation unbased in Scripture that Paul continued to water baptize after Christ made his different sending clear to him in that temple vision, most probably was when it occurred. It's not speculation to simply believe that Christ sent Paul not to baptize, but to preach the gospel of Christ crucified for our sins, and to believe on him to life everlasting. If Paul had continued to water baptize believers in his gospel after Christ sent him to preach the gospel without sending him to water baptize, then Paul would have been violating what he declared in Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5, that now there is only one baptism. Ephesians 4, verses 4 and 5, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is today, in this dispensing of God's salvation, there is one baptism. Israel is not now partially blinded. Look at Romans 11:25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. In other words, don't ignore this secret I'm going to tell you, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Now notice that it does not say that part of Israel was blinded. No, all of Israel was partly blinded about receiving their Messiah. They didn't receive him. The little flock already believed in the name of their Messiah, so they were unaffected. Israel was blinded in part during a dispensing or a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, while Israel was still diminishing. So, what was Israel's fall? We mentioned their fall before. Let's look in Matthew 12, verses 31 and 32. And then we'll see in Acts 7 where that fits exactly. The wording is right there for verse 32 to be fulfilled. Some people question whether he blasphemed against the Holy Ghost or just blasphemed. But when you get to verse 32, there's no getting around it. Let's read 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. But here in 32, look, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Remember Christ on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. But going on, it says, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Well, that world was under the law. Today, we're in the world to come, and they're still not forgiven. They will be forgiven in the following time, when the Lord, well, Zechariah 12:10, when they see him coming in the clouds, and they see the piercing of his hands, they recognize, they mourn for him, it says in that verse, for whom they pierced. So let's look in Acts 7. Excuse me while this bells and whistles. Sorry about that. Acts 7:51. We're going to read through 58. Not all the verses. I'm going to read four verses. Acts 7:51, 52, 55, and 58. And it brings out what you'll find in the context there if you read the whole thing. Paul, this is Stephen's defense when questioned by what was it? It was by the elders and scribes, and then it says was by the whole council, and then it says the high priest was even in charge there, was doing that. And what they were, well, here's Stephen's defense. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you." Saying that to the council and to the high priest. Strong words. Verse 52. "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers." Verse 55. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And I missed one of the good verses here. I didn't put it in my notes. Let me just pull it up here from the Bible poster. Uh, 56 says, "And said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." 57, Then they cried out with a loud voice. It said in 55, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He was speaking the words of the Holy Ghost, and they cried out against what he was saying, against the Holy Ghost. "Cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran on him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Excuse me, his name at the time, he was called Saul. So during that time, following that fall of Israel, Israel was partly blinded because of the fall there that we just read. They had fallen as a holy nation, a peculiar treasure, and were no longer God's people. Hosea 1:9. "Then said God, Call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." God was no longer their God, Israel's God. Israel was no longer a way to God as the nation had been before. John 4:22, "You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." At that time, in John 4, when Jesus was preaching before the crucifixion, God will change Israel's status according to the next verse in Hosea's prophecy. We just read Hosea 1:9, "You're not my people, and I will not be your God." Hosea 1:10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, You are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." But after God finished letting Israel diminish, he sent Paul to read them Isaiah's casting away curse in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. And after that, and still today, Israel is blinded, period. No longer merely blinded in part. Inspired, Paul told them in Acts 28, verses 26 and 27, "Seeing you shall see and not perceive. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes." That's blindness, not just blinded in part. The remnant in Romans 11:5 is not a prophetic remnant like the small part of Israel that believed God's word to them. The apostles, the gathering there that believed at Pentecost in Acts 2 and Acts 4, Acts 3. The remnant in Romans 11:5 is according to the choice, the election of grace. That remnant was the few that would elect to believe Paul's message of grace for sinners as he preached to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And they would baptize, they would be baptized by one Spirit into the one body, the body of Christ, not into Israel. Israel is never called a body, certainly not the body of Christ. So let's look at those verses, Romans 11:5 and 11:6. Even so, then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. That is a grace remnant, not a prophetic remnant. As a brief summary, baptism by one Spirit into the one body is for today. Since Ephesians 4:5 says there is only one baptism remaining today, then if someone is water baptizing, isn't that a warning of something being wrong? That something is wrong there? Christ's commissioning of Israel in Acts 28 to go out and to baptize believers in their kingdom gospel was to Israel's believing little flock, not to Israel's disbelieving leadership and majority, and certainly not to us Gentiles, like us, alien Gentiles that at the time knew nothing about God or God's people or God's covenants. They don't apply. Those covenants are on hold now until Israel recognizes their Messiah. Christ, he even taught Israel that they would not preach the gospel of the kingdom outside of Israel until Christ returns to earth to end the Great Tribulation and to set up his 1,000-year kingdom that you read about so often in the scriptures, the kingdom that's coming. Matthew 10:23 tells us that very thing. Let's read it. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. So there's a timing element that's involved. They don't go preach the gospel of the kingdom until after, when this gospel that we're under today, the gospel of the grace of God, is over with, and we're caught up to be with the Lord. For us, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Christ sent me not to baptize. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And I'm done with the fourth of the four sections of this study.